This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington. Rob is here being positive as always. You know what, Rob? I feel like a little bit of your joy of the football season has been taken away by the fact that you are a season ticket holder for maybe the most disappointing team in college football. You don't have a bubbly spirit about you in football this year. You don't have that bounce. Like, I'm seeing the numbers from the 785. The 785, they're usually kind of grumpy on the text line. 785's positive, and I get it. It makes sense to me why you're in a good mood. You know, maybe you live out more, you know, and you live close to Manhattan. Your team is doing good. The Chiefs are doing good. Your team's got a good transfer portal. You guys are in good spirits. The 913, y'all are a little hostile for some reason. I get it. I understand. You spent all June and July telling me how this was different, and it doesn't appear to be different for you. This is the same KU football season you've seen. It's also the same Missouri season I've seen, but that's not what we're talking about right now. You just don't have that same bubbly spirit about you.
It doesn't help that my basketball team got thumped by a scrimmage by Arkansas.
I mean, now it doesn't even matter. Yo, did you see that chain Hunter Dickinson had on?
That NIL money's good.
What are y'all paying over there? What is going on? I saw the video. I saw Hunter Dickinson wasn't playing, and then I saw that chain he had on. I was like, oh, he fine. Yeah, all right, you'll be fine. You guys got North Carolina next week, right? Next Friday. You guys got North Carolina coming.
Yeah, next Friday, yeah.
Man, I don't know if you heard this. North Carolina's already started the game in foul trouble. I don't know if you heard that or not. They're already in foul trouble. It's crazy. I don't even know how they haven't even started playing yet. Their best player already has two fouls and is headed to the bench in the first 3 minutes of the game. It's crazy the way Allen Fieldhouse works.
And we're 2 weeks away from Duke. I mean, you know what? I'll be back.
You'll definitely be back.
53-49 Champions Classic over Michigan State. You'll complain about the sport. I'll rave about their toughness.
No,
and tenacity.
I told you, I don't complain about college basketball anymore. No, I'm done complaining about college basketball. I don't have any complaining about college basketball. None. I'm over it. I'm not going to complain about it. I love college basketball for what it is. I appreciate college basketball for what it is. When do they play Duke? When's that coming up?
It's in Vegas. I think it's in like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks.
Can't wait to watch Cooper Flagg give you guys fits.
Did you see how they did again? They were scrimmaging against Arizona State.
Arizona State by 75 points. it was terrible what they did to them. All right, we kind of got a lot to get into. The Raiders are not good. The Chiefs don't play until Monday night. It's kind of a weird week, but the Chiefs have made a trade this week. The Ravens have also made a trade this week, and the Texans, they lost their number one wide receiver. So it's still a lot happening. Hit it, Rob.
It's 5 o'clock, and your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C-Dot and Rob. This is The Hits, number one.
Carrington, as always, The Hits are brought to you by Baker University. where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at BakerU.edu. Well, the top story in Kansas City, Carrington, actually doesn't involve the Kansas City Chiefs, as we saw another NFL wide receiver trade today. Deontay Johnson is headed from the Panthers to the Baltimore Ravens. He is sent there with a sixth-round pick in exchange for a fifth-round pick. Carrington, are you surprised the Chiefs weren't in on this deal considering the low acquisition cost?
Yeah, no, I'm not really that surprised about it. You can fade the music down just a little bit here. Let's talk a little bit more about Deontay Johnson. Now, Deontay Johnson was on my list. He was actually pretty high on my list, but there's the same way that I told you with Amari Cooper, there's some negatives. Like, Amari Cooper's hands are a little shaky. The same way that I think there are negatives with DeAndre Hopkins. He is the oldest of those three wide receivers. He is the most injured out of those three wide receivers. DeAndre Hopkins, not a perfect prospect. I think you would also have to say that too with Deontay Johnson. I mean, this is now Deontay Johnson's third team in 3 years. He has been traded from two of those teams. You have not really seen a lack of commitment, and he is by far and away the least accomplished out of those three players. It is very interesting to me when you now see the compensation that the Ravens gave up. First off, for the Ravens, it's a good trade for the Ravens. I think all three teams, the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Ravens, all three of them made really good trades for what they need. Buffalo got a guy who is a, I don't want to say true number one, but is your best receiver, a proven producer at this level. The Chiefs got an experienced, reliable, great hands, tough, over the middle. That's what they got with D-Hop. The Ravens got a little bit of punch. Now, part of me feels like the Ravens did this to try to keep up with what the other two teams did. You saw this team go do something and this other team did something, so now you got to make a move. But while I give the Ravens a lot of credit for this, the Ravens didn't give up anything to acquire said player. So the Ravens, they give up their fifth-round pick, which we assume is going to be on the back half of the fifth round. They're going to win the division. They're going to make the playoffs, maybe win a game or two. So the Ravens are trading their fifth-round pick. They get Deontay Johnson and Carolina's sixth-round pick. So if you're the Ravens and you move back from your fifth-round pick to Carolina's sixth-round pick, you pick up Deontay Johnson in the process, and Carolina is going to eat $3 million where you only owe Deontay Johnson less than $780,000 between now and the end of the season. I don't know how you don't make this trade if you're the Ravens, even if the Ravens have more needs than that. I still think the Ravens need a pass rusher. I think the Ravens need a corner. Deontay Johnson is neither one of those things. But for less than $1 million and us moving back 13 spots in the NFL draft, sure, we'll take Deontay Johnson if that's the case. So I really think that all three teams are better because of this trade and the compensation. I don't mind what the Bills gave up to get Amari Cooper. I think the Chiefs gave up the right amount to go get DeAndre Hopkins. And I don't know how you can be mad at the Ravens trade. They didn't even give up an asset. They just simply moved back in the NFL draft and acquired Deontay Johnson as a mercenary rental piece between now and the end of the season. It will now be fun to track to see which one of those guys has the most productive end of the season, because the Chiefs had a chance, you would think, realistically, at getting all three of these individuals, and they decided which one they wanted. They could have got Deontay Johnson. If you're telling me it didn't even take a draft pick compensation, it took moving back in the draft, the Chiefs could have got Deontay Johnson if they wanted to. They made the decision not to. They also could have got Amari Cooper. They didn't want to spend the price. So we will see over the course of now until the middle of January, we will see who made the best trade out of those three, which one of those players moved the needle the most, and which one of those players can help their team in the postseason.
Number two.
Speaking of all three of those players, Carrington, it seems like the Chiefs had a certain type in mind, and even though Deontay Johnson on the field looked like their type, you explained to me earlier today that, hey, maybe what D-Hop does that we can't see is why the Chiefs were targeting a guy like Hopkins over Deontay Johnson. It's all about culture fit.
Yeah, no, I think the culture fit's a really big deal. Let me play this for you. This is Mitch Holtz's yesterday on the show talking about D-Hop and how he believes D-Hop is going to fit into the culture of what the Chiefs are doing.
I've been very impressed in my brief discussions with DeAndre Hopkins. It's in Drew Tranquil. We can go right down the line. Justin Reed, our guest tonight on the Kingdom Show. These guys not only assimilate into your culture, CDOT, they've enhanced the culture. And I really expect that with D-Hop, and hopefully Josh can do the same thing in the fact that these guys add to what you have, even beyond the field, and they don't work counterproductive to what you have off the field, because that can wreck a team. We've seen that before throughout the NFL and with the Chiefs throughout history.
There was a story earlier today on ESPN.com. It is free. It's not behind a paywall. I would encourage every single person listening to read this story. It doesn't matter if you're a Chiefs fan or if you're not a Chiefs fan. It is a pretty long and lengthy story from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, basically on how the Chiefs are the Chiefs. And there are some great quotes in here from anonymous sources around the league that kind of tells you how the Chiefs operate and what makes them different. I highlighted some of them, and I want to read them to you. So they were talking about Patrick Mahomes' contract and how it's a big benefit. And Howie Roseman, who is the general manager for the Eagles, talks about how big of an advantage it is that Kansas City has Mahomes locked in and his contract is so flexible that they can change it. And the fact that they are on the same page with their quarterback just gives them a financial advantage over everybody. I think we sort of overplay that Mahomes is taking less money to play in Kansas City. He's not taking less money to play in Kansas City. His contract is pretty much in line with what the market says that he's worth, but Mahomes has always shown a willingness to kind of move things around. All right, you guys owe me $20, but instead of you guys paying me $10 today, you know what? Why don't you give me a dollar here? You guys give me $3.25 tomorrow, and you know what? We'll figure it out along the way. That's the kind of contract that the Chiefs have with Patrick Mahomes. So let me read one of these quotes with you. Quote, this is an NFC executive. He says that none of it works if you don't really have a good QB, which is why teams are willing to pay the premium. But what shows and what's different with Kansas City is that both sides are willing to work with each other to stay together and remain nimble. He's clearly working with them. If you have a top paid quarterback and they take a big chunk of this cap, you are having to figure out which three or four guys at the top, and then there's a big gap. But because of Mahomes' contract, the Chiefs can work the middle class a bit more than some of the other teams. There are a lot of different reasons for why the Chiefs are the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is on their team. It's a big reason on why the Chiefs are the Chiefs. The Chiefs have the best defense in the National Football League. A big reason on why the Chiefs are the Chiefs. The number one reason that the Chiefs are good is because everybody is on the same page. And there's a lot of teams in the NFL that maybe have more talent than Kansas City, but are not all pushing in the same direction. We are going to watch a team like that coming up in 2 days on Thursday Night Football with the New York Jets. The Jets have a lot of good pieces. I still think their quarterback has some good football left. I think they have a top five running back in the NFL with Breece Hall. I really like Braylon Allen. I think they have great wide receivers and a capable tight end. I think their defense is really good. No one appears to be on the same page. And it's really hard to win in the NFL, even if everybody is on the same page. It is nearly impossible to do it if your quarterback is off doing this, your wide receiver wants this, this guy wants this. The number one reason that the Chiefs win is that everybody is on the same page. In almost every single aspect, when was the last time that you heard an anonymous report come out of Kansas City's locker room? Think about that. Think about how often anonymous reports and sources and things pop up in the National Football League. When was the last time that one of those stories came about the Chiefs? They never come about the Chiefs. When was the last time that it didn't appear that Kansas City was on the same page and working together or did something that you thought was outside of what they usually do? No, the Chiefs have a system, they have a plan, and they go from there. Another thing that they say, quote, Kansas City knows who they are, probably more than any other team. With most teams, what most people don't realize is there is a disconnect between the GM, personnel, scouts, and coaching staff. Even good teams don't always have a connection there, but the Chiefs do. I actually think most of us realize that there's a disconnect between the GM, personnel, scouts, and coaching staffs. We watched the football product on Sunday. I can see that there's a disconnect. I can see how the owner wants this quarterback, but the coach likes this quarterback, or this player likes this. You can see it on Sundays in the National Football League. You don't have those problems in Kansas City. So again, there are a lot of reasons for why the Chiefs are the Chiefs. the number one reason that the Chiefs are on the Chiefs is they have a very talented roster and they have been able to constantly push in the same direction. If at any moment they don't feel like you were pushing in the same direction as the group, you will not be on the team anymore. It does not matter who you are. You can be Marcus Peters, an all-pro corner. You can be Tyreek Hill, an all-pro wide receiver. You can be Tyrann Mathieu, who might go in the Chiefs' Ring of Honor. If at any moment they feel like you are not on the same page as the group, you will not be on that team for that much longer. That's why the Chiefs continue to win. That's hit number two.
Number three.
Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, Carrington, there was a time in Chiefs lore where they would absolutely boat race teams. I'm talking 49-14, 35-7, just putting it on teams. We're talking 2018, 2019. It was sexy. It was flashy. It was very aesthetically pleasing. But Carrington, you laid it out perfectly earlier today. They might not be that razzle-dazzle, flashy team anymore, but despite changes, despite becoming more ground and pound, an offensive coordinator change, whatever have you, the Chiefs just continue to find way after way after way after way to win. They aren't flashy, but they haven't stopped being successful.
Let me play for you guys what Dana Hughes had to say, and this is what gave me that thought.
Obviously, there are no other teams that can say they're undefeated, but they're also not very many teams that can say confidently that they haven't played their best football, and they're still in this position as a top team in their division and in the conference. So to me, that's encouraging. I like the fact that we have not arrived yet, and we're just in week eight going into week nine.
This is where I would disagree with Danan just a little bit. I think the Chiefs are actually playing really close to their best in a lot of different ways. I just think that their best looks different than how it usually is. This is the comparison that I'll make. Kobe and Tim Duncan played in the NBA at the exact same time. They had a lot of the same success. Kobe got 5 rings. Tim Duncan's got 5 rings. Tim Duncan won MVP. Kobe won MVP. 2 all-time great, iconic players, arguably the best to ever play their position in the NBA. But they both did it very, very differently, but were incredibly effective at what they do. This Chiefs team is playing kind of similar to how they played in the postseason. This team's not playing much different than how they played on the road at Buffalo last year and won that game in the postseason. This team is not playing much different than how they did on the road against the Baltimore Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. This is not much different than how they played in the Super Bowl just 6 months ago or 8 months ago now against the San Francisco 49ers. The Chiefs, honestly, they only really have one flaw. It's turnover differential. That is the only flaw that the Chiefs have. It doesn't make sense how the Chiefs keep winning in the face of turnover differential. For all the stuff that we talk about in the NFL, about this team needs to do this and this team needs to do that, the number one indicator of who wins an NFL game is turnover differential. The Chiefs are minus 14 since the beginning of last year's regular season, and they are 22-6 over those games. That's not realistic. Like, it doesn't. The Chiefs were minus 11 last year in the turnover differential and won the Super Bowl. That is not normal. So whatever flaws you think the Chiefs have, they had those exact same flaws a year ago. They did. They had the exact same flaws. The team was banged up in certain situations. You were waiting on certain guys to develop. You had the same questions about the offensive line, the same questions about the wide receiver. The Chiefs are kind of the same. They just continue to find a way to win, that it is just going to look different than how it did in 2019 or 2020. In 2020, they were Kobe. They could go for 81. They could score 30 points in 12 consecutive games and break an NBA record. It was a flashy Kansas City Chiefs team. Now it's a lot like Tim Duncan. They're going to go out there. They're going to score 25 points. They're going to have 12 rebounds. They're going to have 7 assists. They're not really going to say much about it, and they're just going to keep winning. And you're going to be like, wait, how? Like, how do they do this? Tim Duncan's game was not flashy at all. It's one of the most effective games that we've ever seen. So I would just disagree with Danan a little bit. I think the Chiefs are playing pretty close to their best. I just think their best looks different now. They're not the team that in 2018 or 2019 could go on those third quarter runs that could completely bury you. You remember those Chiefs teams? It could be tied at halftime, and then in the third quarter, they would score 21 points unanswered, and they'd be up 31-10 heading into the fourth quarter. This team doesn't have that ability, but this team is going to beat you on the scorecard. They're going to win every single round, and at the end, you're going to look up, and it's like, wait, hold on. They won 11 of the 12 rounds. They had one knockout, and this was a dominant performance. That's how this version of the Kansas City Chiefs looks like.
I think it's something that I struggle with. Maybe not the flashiness, but what used to be an avalanche hitting teams. We often on this show made the comparison. They were the Warriors. We watch a lot of NBA basketball, Carrington. There were a lot of times when the Warriors were the Splash Brothers and they were up and going. They were the 73-win team. It would be like a six-point game, and then Curry would hit a three, then you'd have a turnover, then Thompson hits a three, and then the crowd gets into it, and then you miss a layup, and then Curry hits a deep, deep three, he looks away, the crowd's bananas, and you look up, and you're like, we're down 15, and the game was over. That's what the Chiefs did, people. There was an avalanche, and it was over, and you couldn't stop it. You felt it just suffocating you. I think I struggle to understand the new Chiefs, because I feel like a part of my brain thinks because they're not doing that to teams anymore, they're playing with fire a little bit. Because they have had five of their seven games this year been one possession wins. That's a little bit of playing with fire. They're not running away from people. They're not even really, you know, hey, it's a safe distance victory. They do have a minus turnover differential, which when you're not avalanching teams and you're playing with fire could backfire eventually. So I personally have struggled with this new look Chiefs, for lack of a better term, because it feels like, for your boxing analogy, when you go to the card and when you go to the judges to make the decision, there's a chance you lose. They were Tyson in their prime for a long time, knocking everyone out. No judge required. Now they're Floyd Mayweather. We think they're winning. We feel like they're winning handily, but you feel like it's not what it used to be, and that because of that, it feels like there's a larger chance you could slip up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I want to read this text really quickly, and I don't say this is a knock towards Patrick Mahomes at all. CDOT, once the passing game gets all the way in sync to go with the defense and Kareem gets in football shape, Pat's going to slow down on the interceptions now that they have D-Hop. Patrick Mahomes over the last 23 games. So this is last season. I know we don't take regular season stats. I'm simply giving you what the regular season stats are. So since he won MVP, because he won MVP in 2022, right? Since Patrick Mahomes won MVP, he has thrown 35 touchdown passes and has 23 interceptions. He has thrown, on average, since he won MVP, he has thrown, on average, an interception every game. Some of these problems with the Chiefs that we have seen are not new problems with Kansas City. The turnovers were an issue last year with Kansas City. They have a negative turnover differential right now, and they're still undefeated. So I'm not saying like there's some big problem or the sky is falling. I'm just saying is we have seen enough regular season Chiefs football over the last year and a half to kind of know what they are and what they're not. And I don't really know that over the course of the next month, they are going to hit some different gear, and it is going to stylistically look much different than what it is. I'm going to guess on Monday night, it looks the exact same way that it's looked. Sure, you get a little bit more from D-Hop, but that means you're going to take a little bit away from Kelce. You'll take a little bit from here, a little bit from there, a little bit. I think we kind of know what the Chiefs' formula is. It really, to me, comes down to, are they going to turn the ball over? You remember last year in the postseason, I kept saying it. The Chiefs still have a chance. They just cannot keep turning the ball over in the postseason. In the postseason, they protected the football. They won all of their postseason games. That's really the biggest thing. But this team, to me, stylistically, and I understand it's because of injuries, this team today, the team, I guess, a couple days ago, the team that played the Raiders is not much different than the team that played the Bills or the team that beat San Francisco in the Super Bowl. They stylistically are about the same. They ran the football very effectively with Isaiah Pacheco. They won it with great defense, and they picked their spots with their weapons. And Pat was Pat, even in the face of the numbers that I just gave you. Over the last 23 games, 35 touchdown passes and 23 interceptions. They still have those one or two drives a game where it's, yeah, he's still really good. that they go down the field. After the goal line stop on Sunday, their next two drives, they scored 10 points, and that was the end of the game. Like, whenever the Chiefs really need to flex, they have been able to do that just about every single time this year. And I just don't think that characteristic is changing much with the Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, there was a wide receiver name that still interests me a little bit with the Chiefs. We'll talk about him. I'll tell you who it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple of World Series stats before we get back to the Chiefs. I saw this last night. Did you know that Aaron Judge, he has struck out on 47% of his at-bats this postseason? You know how wild that is? Think about all the different forms of outs that you can have in baseball. 47% of the time he is just striking out. That's not counting a ground out or a pop up in the infield or a hard hit fly ball that gets caught in the gap. No, this is just striking out this postseason. He has struck out on 47% of his at bats so far this postseason. I also saw this stat, Rob. This one just popped up on my timeline. Did you know that Zach Greinke has a career 2 hits in the World Series? And Aaron Judge has 1. So
that's a good stat.
If you want to know how things are going right now for the New York Yankees, that is all you need to know. Aaron Judge is striking out on 47% of his ABs, and he currently has less hits all time in the World Series than Zach Greinke, who is a pitcher.
You see that highlight last night of Giancarlo Stanton trying to run? It looked like that man was in quicksand coming around third base. Like that was – it was – honestly hilarious, but that series is over, right? You're not giving the Yankees any chance. So they at least extend it tonight, or is it done?
No. I mean, they're done. They've been done. You know what it kind of feels like with the Yankees, and I feel bad because the Royals are in this conversation. The Yankees are like the team that beat up on like a mid-major conference, and now they got to play teams outside their conference, and we just see, oh, that team really wasn't that good. Like, they kind of skated by on like a weak schedule, and now they got to go play Georgia in a non-con game, and now Georgia is putting the brakes to those boys. That's kind of what it looks like. Yeah, you guys beat the Royals and the Guardians in the postseason, and now you got to play the Dodgers. All right, it's one thing to push around the Royals offense. Why don't you do that same thing to Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman? Why don't you do that to them? And they are not capable of pushing the Dodgers around. The Dodgers are about to sweep those boys. I also want this to be a lesson. Hey, these athletes, man, they be trying to stay in one location. Mike Trout, you really cheated us. We've got to see Shohei Ohtani over the course of the last month. And Mike Trout, you just continue to live anonymous and eat Subway sandwiches in the commercial. You really cheated us over the last decade. You should have done what Shohei did. Shohei had an opportunity to leave and get away from those boys, and he couldn't wait to go play for a winner. Look at it. He's about to get rewarded. Staying in one location doesn't pay off. I'm serious. It doesn't pay off.
I mean, sometimes it does. It's situational. The Angels are a dysfunctional organization.
Who does it help if you stay that long? Eventually,
I mean, I could argue Patrick Mahomes stay that long, and it's worked out.
What his second year as a
He's not going anywhere.
Okay, but I'm saying is if you're Kevin Garnett
and you've been there
10 years, and then you weren't winning, and then you finally go somewhere else, at least it wasn't nearly. Travis Kelce was at least going to the postseason before Patrick Mahomes got here. He was having success. Sure, he wasn't winning championships. The Chiefs were at least contending, winning their division, making the postseason.
I'm trying to think of a person who stuck it out and got rewarded.
Yeah, most of the time, if you leave later on in your career, Tony Gonzalez leaving later in your career was great. Zach Greinke left. It worked out great for him. CC Sabathia left. Worked out great for him. Kevin Garnett left. Worked out. Most of the time, leaving is what you should do. You know when it's over.
I mean, Dwayne Wade, does that one count? He won early in his career, too.
Yeah, no, I'm saying you don't win early in your career and you try to stick it out. It's going to get better. I trust the organization. You know, the only person I can say it worked out for is Billy Butler. And then when they really, really got good, they got rid of him the next year. Yeah, he might be the only person. They might be the only person in the history of things to stick it around, and he actually has a positive story about it. No, leave in free agency.
I can't think of it off the top of my head. That was like, it's either you get a ring early with the team that drafts
you
and then you're a lifer, or you got to get out.
Yeah, or you don't get it.
I think Shohei got out a little early. I think Shohei could have got one there. But
wow, they never made the postseason when he was there. They never had a winning record when he was playing for the Angels. They was eventually going to get one win. He looked over and saw Mike Trout. His body's falling apart. And he's like, no, I'm not going to let you guys do this to me. Look, my elbow doesn't work. I'm popping my shoulder out of the socket. I'm at least going to win while I'm doing all of this. Good for Shohei. I'm telling you, good. Don't stay on that miserable team your whole life. Eventually, go win. Go give yourself a chance. Speaking of going to give yourself a chance, that's what Darius Slayton should do. He has tried to stay loyal to the New York Giants. They're terrible. They're not going anywhere. Once again, he's good friends with Daniel Jones. They're about to get rid of Daniel Jones. Darius Slayton, come play for the Chiefs.
He is as good a guy as I've been around in the NFL in my 6 years. So there's no like, he might quit on the team. He's been through losing. He knows exactly how to play hard through hard times. He is very well liked around the Giants. So they won't be in any kind of rush to move him. But, you know, business is business at the end of the day. He's not going to be on the team next year. And the Giants made a mistake last year not moving Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney and losing them in free agency to nothing. So they need to learn from that mistake.
I do wonder if a team's going to go grab Slayton. Slayton would make a lot of sense to go grab in terms of his contract. So he is a free agent at the end of this year. His base salary is $2.5 million. He got a roster bonus that's already been paid out. The Giants pay the roster bonus. He also had a roster bonus for being on their team. They gave him a lot of money up front. I'm not 100% sure what his number's going to be once you add all of these things in, the roster bonus, the workout bonus. He also got a workout bonus. Can you imagine you got $350,000 to go through non-contact football drills? What a life, the NFL players. They got that thing figured out. His base salary is $2.5 million. You can go get Darius Slayton for the cheap if you're in another team. You can go get him for the cheap. I don't know what team is going to be the one that goes out there and does it. Maybe it's Kansas City. Maybe it's not Kansas City. Tampa Bay could end up being a team that could do it. Maybe the Texans end up being a team that does it now with them having some injuries, with Nico Collins being out right now and Diggs with the torn ACL, so he's out for the rest of the year. I know you guys will make fun of me for saying this. You know where Slayton would actually make a lot of sense? the Chargers. The Chargers would make a lot of sense to go get Darius Slayton with their wide receiver room. They don't have a whole lot, especially as a team that has a chance to make the postseason. Darius Slayton, there's about four or five teams that make a lot of sense for reliable, low-cost, very productive player that could step in immediately and help your team. That'd be great in the locker room and great for morale. Darius Slayton should be off of the team by this time next week.
I would love to see Darius Slayton be a Chief, but I don't know that wide receiver is still the biggest need for the Chiefs anymore. This could change on Thursday because the injury report, hey, cornerback looking healthier again, that's fine. I would like Darius Slayton, the player, on the Chiefs, but as their cornerback room looks more and more like their receiver room, thin, I don't know I want them making a Slayton move unless they start to get a little more healthy in the back end, because a lot of what they do is built around good defensive back play, and having your sixth or seventh corner out there, it's just hard to have good defensive back play.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I think kind of like left tackle, like let's say you want the Chiefs to go out and shore up the tackle situation. You are not finding a starting left tackle in November. That's just not the way the NFL works. You know what I say? There are March and April problems, and those are the times to deal with it. If you don't have a left tackle, March and April are the time to address that, either in free agency or the NFL draft. Go find you one. They're available. You're not improving from Wanye Morris or Kingsley Suamataia at the trade deadline. No. You make it work with those individuals. Coach them up. Give them some help out there. Adjust. Scheme around it. But those are your left tackles. Are you really making a drastic? Because if the Chiefs go pick up a corner, let's go down this. If they go pick up a corner, they are getting a 32-year-old corner with injury history.
Or they're getting someone else's Nazi Johnson.
Yeah.
Late-round pick.
Agreed.
That, hey, contract might be expiring soon. We couldn't get the most out of you. You can have a shot in the dark. Why not?
I think they already have Mike Hughes on their roster, though. So I don't want them to just trade an asset to go get something that they already have on their team. They have a bunch of those kind of guys on their team. A Nazi Johnson, a Wallace. They've got a couple of those kind of guys on their team. If they're not interested in maybe going to get a Trey White, for example, and I don't think he would be the name, that's the kind of player that I think you're talking about. But he's a player that comes with a significant injury history. Like, it's sort of buyer beware when you're looking at the deadline. Think about all the players that we've seen move. Amari Cooper has red flags. DeAndre Hopkins has red flags. Deontay Johnson has red flags. We think Trey White could get moved. He has red flags. Like, that's kind of what's available now at the deadline. It's from a losing team that they're trading off parts. It's usually going to be a guy that they don't want to re-sign, and they'll take pennies for the dollar. Like, there is a reason why something is out on the curb. Like, it's usually not in the greatest quality. The owner is trying to get rid of it, and that's kind of what the trade deadline is, with a little bit nicer stuff. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. Sometimes the last segment of the show is really just like a brain dump. Like, there's like all these things that either happened or I'm thinking, and it's the last segment of the show. You guys will be shocked to know that this is the least listened to segment of the show. You know, you're usually at your destination by now. So sometimes this just turns into like, these are just random things that I am thinking. Number one, I went to my daughter's field trip earlier today. So, you know, Rob and I didn't have as much time in the morning, at least in person. We kind of talked on the phone and did all that, but I went to her field trip. So they went to this little ranch. It was like a little fun fall activity. And the reason I'm telling you guys this is, if you have a teacher in your life in any way, I want you to tell that person how much you appreciate them, because I have a newfound love and appreciation, a renewed, maybe is a great way of saying it. I always had it, but just a renewed appreciation. It's one thing to just be around your own little one. It's another thing when you're around 17 of the just like you. and they ask you a bunch of questions, and then you answer them, and then they just say why. And then have you ever asked a kid, like a kid has asked you so many questions, and eventually you just get kind of tired? I don't know. That's just because of how it is. That's how they are. They'll ask you a bunch of stuff. They ask you to open stuff, and you know, they're kids. So Rob, what happened earlier was, so at this little fall place, they had like a little corn pit. I had never really seen a lot of these before. I usually don't do these kind of fall activities. But the little one was like, come jump in the thing with me. I was like, all right, cool. I'll come over there. So I took my shoes off and I'm walking in there. And I was thinking, what if you lost your keys or your phone here? You're done. Somebody has lost their keys or phone in the little corn pit. What is it just gone forever? What do you do in that scenario, Rob? Is just you never get your keys back? You never get your phone back?
Based on the society we live in, I believe you would sue the corn pit for all their worth.
Yeah, I don't know.
My car and phone are gone forever.
I was like, I don't want to be in this situation. I'm moving, and now, I'm not about to let that happen to me. So before we get in the corn pit, Rob, the first thing they tell the kids is there's, you know, normal rules. Number one rule, don't throw the corn. Because, you know, if you get in your eye, you never know what could happen, right? Don't throw the corn. All these kids are 4 and 5. What do you think the first thing they're going to do is? They're going to throw the corn around. They're having like corn fight with each other, like they're snowballs. They're trying to bury each other in the corn. They were making like little corn angels, like snow angels. They were doing a lot. One kid was doing the LeBron chalk toss with the corn. It was a lot of calamity going on. And eventually the teacher told them to get out of the pit, right? Like they were kids. They were told them to get out of the pit. So while the kids were getting out of the pit, I went up to one of the teachers and I was like, so you do this every day? She was like, yeah. How's that going? It's got to be a stressful, like, man, I love it. She said it with so much joy and enthusiasm. I was asking follow-up questions, like, for real? Like, you know, how do you do this? How long have you been doing this for? Oh, like 7, 8 years. I went to college. She telling me her old backstory. I'm learning. I'm intrigued by this whole thing. I was like, wait, hold on. You just got the patience to do this? I even made a joke. I was like, there has to be some days you just go home and you go to bed at like 7 o'clock. She's like, no, I just love it so much. And I was like, man, I told her, you're one of God's angels. You're an amazing human being. I don't know how you do this every day. So I'm telling you guys this story because I don't know if you have a teacher in your life. Maybe you are a teacher, or your wife's a teacher, or your girlfriend's a teacher, your partner, whoever in your life is a teacher. I want you to tell them today how much you appreciate them, because I'm a big believer that like nobody really understands how hard anybody else's job is. Like, I know that you guys think that tomorrow you could just do my job. But if you came and tried to do it after about 2 segments, you'd be like, man, it's actually a lot harder than I thought it was. I'm like, yeah, I kind of know it's a little bit harder than that. I also think I would feel the same way about your job. Like, I'd show up and about noon, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I had that moment today with the teachers. So I just wanted to tell you guys that story that teachers, they deserve a lot more credit and a lot more love than I think we give them. They're amazing.
Especially of that age of children. That's like, what's the term, herding cats? That's what that is. Although, I have one of my in-laws used to sub, and they say middle school's the absolute worst. Just, you can't win, don't try.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that time. I'm kind of at the point that I should have known this before, but you just don't really know until you know. The most frustrating thing about kids is just you have to tell them the same thing like 6 times. Almost every time. Doesn't matter. Like, it could be the small thing or the big thing. Like, you're going to have to tell them multiple times. I don't know. You think you tell them once that that's going to be sufficient? That's going to suffice? No, it is never going to suffice. You're going to have to tell them 3 times. Hey, can you go put your shoes on? They'll start running around watching Baby Shark. Hey, can you go put your shoes on? Hey, we can't leave until you put your shoes on. That's 82% of your conversations with the kid. 82% is that right there. All right. I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you had a lot of fun today. Special thanks to the field trip. I had a great time at the field trip. Who's coming up after me?
K-State Hoops.
Hey, who they got tonight?
Fort Hays State.
Oh, exhibition, never mind. It's the Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.